Cells in Motion Podcast.
Welcome to episode 4 with your host Frieda Berg. Today we take a look at how light microscopy has improved due to technical revolution. All things in the far distance are not visible for the human eye, but also things that are too small to see have fascinated us since ages. Light microscopy is a technique already centuries old, with which these smallest things can be displayed. Friedemann Kiefer and Jürgen Klinghoff work at the Cells in Motion Cluster of Excellence at the University of Münster, and both are experts at light microscopy. The view through the microscope opens up completely new microcosms. They previously were hidden before the human eye, says Professor Jürgen Klinghoff from the Institute of Biophysics.
The history of cell biology actually can be seen as history of microscopy, particularly of light microscopy, because since Renaissance times, when people began to develop lens systems, they were not only used for stargazing, so to look at the big world, so to speak, but also to push forward into the unknown microworlds.
Nowadays, microscopy can reach far into the cosmos of the small. The light microscope benefited so much from technical innovation and the digital revolution that researchers now can look into living cells and even their smallest components. The technology has made an enormous leap just in the last few years, says Friedemann Kiefer, professor at the Max Planck Institute for Molecular Biomedicine.
The microscope has turned into the most important tool of modern biology. And in essence, this is the consequence of a series of revolutionary technical developments over the last 30 years.
But let's start with the basic principles of light microscopy. Despite the tremendous progress, the basics haven't changed.
So the basis of light microscopy is and has always been the generation of tissue sections. I think many of us have done the prototype experiment back in school. When you take a piece of cork and you cut off a thin slice with a razor blade so that you can see through the material, the walls of the cells that once have been there. Now, clearly, you do have to do that because light does not penetrate biological material.
In the light microscope, a thin tissue section is illuminated and optically magnified by lenses. The final image was once observed through the ocular with the eye. Today, it is recorded using detectors. However, light does not penetrate but is scattered in the tissue. Modern microscopes implement laser light that hides the so-called stray light by certain optical arrangements. Infrared light can even penetrate deeper into tissue than visible light since it has a longer wavelength. Friedemann Kiefer.
So the advantage is, of course, that laser light can be focused with incredible precision and intensity and is therefore capable of penetrating much deeper into biological tissue.
But the information carried by light just after illuminating a tissue, like dark and light areas, is not specific enough if you only want to look at certain processes. This problem is solved by fluorescence. Fluorescence is a staining method that makes specifically those structures glow that are the target and therefore relevant to the research question. Fluorescence you may know, for example, from the nightclub, when black light makes the optical brightness in your white clothing glow. Jürgen Klinghoff explains the principle.
Whenever I focus light on certain dyes that can absorb light, these dyes return the light, but then with weaker energy. And in this case, weaker energy means, fortunately, a different color. So light of different colors has different energies. That means if I irradiate this dye with blue light, it sends out green light, somewhat weaker in power. And this is called then fluorescence light.
The fluorescent dye is attached to a molecule that binds to a target structure that you want to make visible. The fluorescent structures are then recorded and turned into a picture by detectors, which are sensitive for the energy of the emitted light. Friedemann Kiefer.
In microscopy, you always have to penetrate a specimen with excitation light. And whatever fluorescence is then emitted, this makes the tissue visible and has to be recorded now in the simplest way by eye, or using a photomultiplier tube, or in very modern instruments than by a CCD camera. These CCDs are the charge-coupled devices, the same detector that is being used in modern photocameras.
Tissue sections, which are observed with a light microscope, are known from the histology, usually when, for example, a suspected tumor tissue is taken from the patient. Friedemann Kiefer studies tissue samples with a special light microscope, called ultramicroscope. Here, a thin sheet of light illuminates a whole plane of the sample specimen. The emitted fluorescence of the entire plane will be detected with a microscope camera. Thus, a large stack of data from many individual layers in one dimension of the sample is recorded. These optical layers of tissue allow three-dimensional reconstruction of certain structures, such as of the vessels.
So with modern cameras, the difference between still images and movies has completely disappeared. You can use an image stack to follow movement over time, or if your stack covers the third dimension in space, then you can use it to generate a complete three-dimensional reconstruction of tissue architecture. That's the basis of ultramicroscopy.
Important for this data-heavy, high-resolution 3D technology, of course, are powerful computers, which have brought microscopy into the digital age.
Microscopic images are nowadays generated digitally. And here we biomedical researchers, we owe a lot to the gaming community, which has requested powerful machines with high storage capacity and really, really fast 3D graphics.
The disadvantage of histological tissue samples is obvious. They provide only static snapshots of dead, fixed tissue. Using the method of intravital microscopy, structures can be studied in the living organism. So how does this work? For intravital microscopy, naturally fluorescent proteins are essential, which are detected by light microscopy. For this, the organism must, however, be anesthetized for a short time to restrict body movement. Of course, there still remain movements in the living body that cannot be stopped, such as breathing movements. They disturb the perfect image of cells, but can be eliminated mathematically afterwards. Friedemann Kiefer.
So ultimately, we would like to see biological processes live in living tissue. And for that, we need a situation where already intrinsically fluorescent proteins are expressed in a specific fashion in the tissue. Now, we can achieve this by using reporter mice. And these are transgenic animals that express fluorescent proteins either in a particular cell type or in specific parts of the cell. In such a reporter animal, we can look at unfixed tissue, and that allows us to look at dynamic processes in living organisms. That's basically looking at life as it happens.
So Friedemann Kiefer wants to understand, with intravital microscopy, for example, how tumors grow and how they overcome cancer therapy.
Chemotherapy and radiation are highly non-specific tumor therapies, which kill all dividing cells, and the side effects are devastating. So suppression of blood vessel growth by antiangiogenic therapy is far more specific and presently probably the most widely used applied tumor therapy with a molecular target. Now, in many cases, antiangiogenic therapy works at first, but the tumors develop resistance. And within a few months, they regrow and keep on growing completely uninhibited.
Why this can happen may be discovered in intravital microscopy. When cells as building blocks of the body are in focus, like in Friedemann Kiefer's works, we act in the field of micrometers, which is a thousandth of a millimeter. And one micrometer, in turn, comprises 1,000 nanometers. In the area of nanometers, which is 1,000,000th of a millimeter, Professor Jürgen Klinghoff is acting. He explores individual components of the cell, specifically the synapses, which are the communication interfaces between nerve cells. To bring synapses on the picture, Jürgen Klinghoff works, of course, with fluorescence and microscopy methods named Storm, Palm and Stead. These methods can turn the fluorescence of single molecules on and off. In this way, it is possible to locate molecules and even to determine the center of the molecule in its spatial position. The techniques work at the resolution limit or even beyond.
This is, of course, extremely important for our overall project in Cells in Motion. This multi-scale view at complex processes at different levels, when you want to know what happens now locally in a tiny bit, in a tiny part of a cell. And here I'm affected in a special way, mainly because I'm interested in the parts in nerve cells which communicate with other nerve cells. And those are just very small structures, and so I'm therefore extremely dependent on using such modern microscopy techniques in order to look at these contact structures called synapses.
So to produce images of structures that have different sizes is a practice called multi-scale imaging, and it's central in order to present and explore the full range of processes in the cell, between cells, in tissue structures or whole organisms. Promoting this multi-scale imaging is a big concern of the Cells in Motion Cluster of Excellence, explains Jürgen Klinghoff using his example of synapses.
It's quite satisfying when you see, starting from a small cellular process, what results from this process, to understand precisely at these very different levels behavior of organisms, behavior of whole animals, and what happens there on completely different levels.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. I'd be glad to welcome you to our next episode on imaging inflammation of the coronary vessels.
Find out more about the cluster on our website, cells-in-motion.com.